This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, when our gospel lesson was about Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, something kind of neat happened. I don't think that you would have been privy to this at the time. But the Holy Spirit had helped me see this story and understand it in a brand new way. I've always loved this story, especially the way St. Matthew tells it. When Jesus asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" He's asking for a personal response. And I just love the way that Peter, speaking on behalf of all the disciples, he just nails the answer. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And we see in this story how Jesus then affirms Peter's answer, saying that this knowledge doesn't come from human beings, it's directly from God. And then Jesus tells the whole group how he's going to use Peter as the rock on whom he will build his church. And to me, this story has always spoken of faith, divine revelation, and even divine calling. In this story, Peter was given his God job. But 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit gave me another way to kind of look at this story. And for the very first time, I saw it as Jesus taking the first intentional step to actually build his church. I saw in a whole new way how vitally important the church was to God's plan for creation. When Jesus renames Simon the Rock, he not only gives Peter his God job, he puts all the other disciples on notice that Peter's going to have a special place, a special role to play in building the church. It's the very first time the word church is used in Scripture. And for me, that week, that question of why church, why today, just kind of jumped off the page at me. And I thought about it, I thought maybe it was because this story is a literal turning point in Scripture. At this point, Jesus' ministry establishing the kingdom of God takes a dramatic turn. From this point on, Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem, the scriptures say. There's no longer any sort of carefree ministry wandering around Galilee doing miracles and preaching where there's no opposition. From now on, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. And by identifying Peter as rock, by taking that first intentional step to build the church, Jesus has accomplished part one of his mission. Part two is all about going to Jerusalem, where Jesus knows he'll be betrayed by one of his own, handed over to the political and religious leaders of the time, and crucified and sacrificed for the sake of the world. And even knowing all of that, Jesus has absolute, complete, and total trust that God will raise him from the dead, that he'll have a little more time to be with his disciples, to continue to teach them about the kingdom of God, a little more time to encourage them to stay together as the church and to let the Holy Spirit work among them. And it's during this time that Jesus gives the church their God job. Their God job in the church is to make disciples of all nations. And so it's happened sometimes as sort of I was seeing this story in this new way, the Spirit moves, and I just sort of get the sense that it's okay for us to leave the lectionary behind and to linger a little bit and look at this thing, the church. Follow the direction that the Spirit is leading. And so the topic that we looked at 2 weeks ago was the church. Why church? How's it connected to the kingdom of God? What's it got to do with us today? These are the questions that we need to address. As you probably guess, you know, these are big questions. And I'm always surprised how God kind of pulls different things together for us so that we can ask these questions and answer them in meaningful ways. And to me, all these questions about the church in the early days, the church today, the kingdom of God, the God jobs that we have, they're all connected. To you, it might seem different. It might seem more like a stream of consciousness sort of thing. And I'm kind of willing to take that risk today just because I feel like this is what the Spirit would like to have us talk about. So I just encourage you to kind of hang with me this week while we finish discussing the big church, the church. And next week, we'll really get into our church, where Mountain of Faith fits into the whole picture. Because I think there are connections to be made between all these areas. And while this may be the first stream of consciousness thing, I want to start this discussion with a non-biblical story. It's a story that was first written down some 600 years before the birth of Jesus by the Greek storyteller Aesop. And Aesop writes about how a lion used to prowl around a field in which four oxen used to dwell. And many times the lion would try to attack the oxen. But whenever he came near, the four oxen would sort of turn their tails towards each other and just face outward. So whichever direction the lion came at him, he'd be faced with horns. And he couldn't attack. But at some point, the oxen fell to quarreling among themselves. And each one went off into his own separate part of the field. And when they did, it didn't take long before the lion, one by one, started to pick them off. You know, Aesop's fables always had a moral to the story. And of course, the moral of this story is that as long as the oxen were communicating, cooperating, looking out for one another, they were fine. The lion couldn't harm them. But as soon as they started to focus on their own needs and wants, on themselves as individuals, as soon as they started to insist to have everything their own way, they got into trouble. The lion was able to start picking them off one by one. And that image of a prowling lion reminded me of a scripture from St. Peter, from 1 Peter chapter 5. You remember Peter as this impetuous disciple. He often spoke rashly and acted brashly. But as the rock, this new role that Peter had, he learned a new way to live among the people of God. And in this passage, it's beautiful. He writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour." I think the message for us is clear. As long as the people of God in the kingdom are communicating, cooperating, looking out for one another, as long as we remain humble and let God rule in our lives, the adversary can't lay a hand on us. But once communities start to bicker among themselves, when we find ourselves constantly at odds with one another, when we're not humble enough to live peaceably together, we get vulnerable. I firmly believe that the devil loves it when the people of God are at each other's throats. He loves to prowl around and pick us off one by one. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the good news for us today, that as human beings, we're made in the image of God. We're literally built for communication and cooperation. What makes us human? It's what allows us to be in mission together for God. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but I wanted to consider just for a minute another stream of consciousness thing, what life is like out in the wild. Maybe just try to imagine, if you can, two crocodiles fighting over the carcass of a water buffalo. There's more than enough food there for them both, but they are going to fight to the death until one drags it away. One wins, one loses. The winner doesn't gloat. The loser doesn't sulk. They just go about their business the best they can as usual. They are, by their reptilian brains, designed to be cold-hearted loners. They say their reptilian brain is no bigger than a walnut. They literally don't have the capacity to communicate or cooperate. You know, as humans, we have a reptilian part of our brain, but it's continued to develop, right? There's a much bigger, much more developed portion, this neocortex that allows us to reason, think, plan, communicate. And as a species, we're able to survive, not because we're the biggest or the strongest or the fastest, but because we learned to live together. Not only do we have this capacity to plan and help each other, but we have a kind of built-in emotional payoff when we do. In Isaiah, that first lesson, when Isaiah raises his hand and says, "Here I am, send me," Isaiah's in for a big surprise. He might think that he's volunteering for some kind of altruistic, noble reason. But what he's going to find out is that it just feels good to serve others. We're built in such a way that there are certain chemicals that are released into our system that make us feel good when we help each other. When we plan something and then execute that plan. And then there are other chemicals in our body that allow us to feel really deep feelings like trust and love and faith and gratification. We're built by God to be in mission together for God, is what this all means. That sense of belonging that comes from being common people on an uncommon journey of faith, that's no accident. That's how we're wired. It's how we're wired to live in the kingdom of God and to serve in the kingdom of God. And today, we're blessed to see that kingdom added to just a little bit. The baptisms that we witness today are evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work here at Mountain of Faith. As we do our best to proclaim God's word and to reach out to others, God will draw people to us through us. As we strive to make Mountain of Faith a safe place to take up this uncommon journey of faith, the Holy Spirit moves and people grow in their relationship to God. Glory to God. People can discover the grace and freedom that God willingly gives real followers of Christ. And so today, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for the evidence that the Holy Spirit is alive and well at Mountain of Faith. May God continue to use this community of believers to build His kingdom. May His kingdom come among us and through us. May we all learn the joy that comes from living in and serving in the kingdom of God. Amen.